Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I am Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
And we begin. I just said that before we started recording and I liked the sound of it. So I thought I'd use
begin
it.
Begin the podcast. In the
yeah. Do you think I could catch on?
Activate podcast record.
Something like that. Yeah.
Did we ever talk about you getting a giant lever, like, you know, that suddenly you push forward? It doesn't have to actually be really connected to anything. It can just be cosmetic, but it would make you feel powerful and it would make me and just the whole thing seem like really sort of pro. Yeah. Like if you had a handle and it was sort of a lever and you just went, pushed
like
it forward
like
quite heavy.
Hyperspace kind of thing
in Star
sound
Wars
effects as well.
In Star Wars, when they go into hyperspace, they always on the Millennium Falcon, they always shout, "Punch it!" Don't they? Punch it!
It needs the lever's going to have plenty of I don't know what the word is.
Resistance. It should be heavy. It's a pneumatic sort of system.
There's got to be some effort to go. Not like power steering.
Punch the pod.
One of them. Yeah, all right then. Something to think about, innit? We've got the 14th of July 1984 issue of Roy of the Rovers to look at. It is, of course, the Melchester Odyssey. I failed to mention that. Sign, please. In the middle pages, they're not giving clues anymore. You just look at it. It just says to you, Liverpool's John Walk.
Walkie.
Great player, Scottish player. It was around for a long time, John Walk, because it was Ipswich. Then Liverpool.
Then back to Ipswich.
And I think he was still in Liverpool the early 90s, kind of when Graeme Souness was there.
Nah.
He possibly went, back at Ipswich again.
He went to Ipswich, didn't he? Because I remember him sort of playing up front for Liverpool for a while, and then he was a midfielder. And then I'm pretty sure in his second spell at Ipswich, he kept going backwards and ended up as a sweeper.
He was a sweeper in the end, yeah.
And what I liked most about
75 to 84, Ipswich. 84 to 88, Liverpool.
Right.
88 to 90, Ipswich. 90 to 91, Middlesbrough.
Ooh.
91 to 97, fucking Ipswich again.
Fuck me. I can't believe that in 1997, John Walk was still playing in the Premier League, actually, because Ipswich, I think, by that stage, were back in the Premier League. I can't believe that throughout the Britpop era, the Caffrey's era, the Hooch era, John Walk, a man sort of almost synonymous with the early 80s, was still active. But it's nice to think about it. The one thing about him is that, and we've touched upon this many moons ago, is that he's one of those footballers that you don't get anymore, a footballer who looked like a monster. He was obviously, he was almost the main one. When you think of footballers who look like monsters, John Walk is almost like, he's the benchmark, isn't he?
John Monster.
Monster. Looked also really like my mate, Billy Gallagher, his old man, who was a pretty nuts Glaswegian, really looked like John Walk.
Most footballers now, they're all quite good looking, aren't they? You don't get many who are... It's weird, isn't it?
Do you know what? I tell you, he looks a bit like a monster, and I don't mean this in a mean way, but I think that Haaland looks a little bit like a sort of a monster.
I don't think Haaland's a human.
Because his gait is monster-like. Do you know what I mean? Not just his face, which is a very unique face. I'm not saying he's unattractive. I'm just saying it's a unique, it's a distinctive, he has distinctive features. But it's more like, you know, he's got that kind of lumbering gait. It's like a monster. Yeah. He sort of hunches forward, doesn't he, when he runs? And it's like how he runs exactly like, if you look at the opening titles of Scooby-Doo, there's one particular monster who chases them across the screen one way and then back across the screen the other way. Looks just like Harland.
Fucking hell, niche reference.
Yeah.
Did you see when Harland let his hair down the other week at the end of that match? Where I think they'd won the league or something.
That scared me.
He looked like Jar Jar Binks. It was fucking unsettling.
He's not off his world.
I think he's some kind of hybrid, or possibly from the future, like Prince and possibly Sparks.
Yeah.
I think Harland could be also from the future, which is fine. It's legitimate, you know. In the future, of course, they're going to have a time machine.
As if you couldn't, ultimate crossover for you. Just forgot to tell you this, but you know who loves Sparks? Susanna Hoffs.
Susanna Hoffs, of course.
They're from the same neighbourhood.
Whoa.
I casually chucked in that I'd been to see Sparks, didn't I?
Yeah.
Because she was talking.
Did you mention that I'd sorted you with a ticket?
She was talking.
It wasn't your idea. Did you mention that? My podcasting friend.
I still owe you money for that as well. I didn't tell her that either. Yeah, Andy sorted it out. Who was Andy? Didn't answer that.
Oh, you'd like him.
I've just remembered I still owe him money, actually. Here, you couldn't lend me a bit, could you, Susanna? You must be doing all right for yourself. Your fucking husband's still knocking out the blockbuster movies.
Don't talk about husband.
I chucked in because she was talking about the Albert Hall. And I just chucked in. Oh, I was at the Albert Hall the other day watching Sparks. Oh, I love Sparks. Brentwood, that's where she's from. But not in Essex. Blimey. Brentwood, California.
Fucking hell, let's move there.
Yeah.
For no reason.
That's where the podding rig should be.
Yeah. So we're going from John Walk to Susanna Hoffs there.
Weird. A very weird leap. Yeah.
A weird leap indeed. But John Walk, he was 39 when he retired.
Legend.
So there you go. That's John Walk for you. Do you want to look at a picture of John Walk? Do you want to see him?
What's that?
Do you want to see him?
Yeah. He looks like, what he looks like most of all is he looks like one of the warriors in Braveheart, doesn't he? The moustache, the shaggy hair, the fearsome face. You wouldn't want to meet John Walk on a dark night, as they used to say. They don't say that anymore, do they? Because it's got connotations.
They Mason Mount.
Yeah, no, they don't. There's no footballer who they'd say you wouldn't want to meet him down a dark alley.
No, sadly not.
They don't say that about fucking James Madison.
You might be able to hear Oscar barking in the background. And he stopped. Okay. I have on my left hand, 14th of July, 1984 issue of Roy the Rovers. We've fannied about far too long. Let's get stuck into it.
Yeah.
It's that KP Skips free comics offer is still running. But of course, you need to collect a lot of packets of skips and a lot of tokens for that. So obviously, they're not just giving that 1 week. But anyway. Roy suspected that Carford City's brilliant midfield player, Carl Hunt, had lost his old dynamism following a tackle which had put another player in hospital. But Roy himself was in top form against Redstock during a six-a-side tournament. And there we see Roy just pinging the ball.
Ping!
He's done a backheel shot.
He's but what he's done is he's really.
Has he? No, he hasn't.
No,
yeah,
he's
he
not. It's a five-a-side goal, and Roy is on the edge of the D, which, let's be honest, is about 5 yards away from the goal.
He's
just fucking whacked it. It's like me playing against my son, but when my son was four. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When the kids are still young and you're fucking pinging them in from all sorts of angles just to make yourself feel good. That's what Roy's doing here.
That clip of Michael Owen scoring that goal against the kid.
Oh, yeah. Neville Southall, yeah.
Yeah. Well done. He's 13. It's like that.
A few people sent us that clip after our lauding of Neville Southall the other day.
Did they?
Mm.
Oh, good.
Have you seen this?
Yes, we have. Everyone has. No offence, but everyone has. Yeah. So that, yeah, it's in the back of the net anyway. It's hard to tell whether he's backheeled it in or not. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So anyway, the crowd are saying, yes, Roy's made it 4-2. There's no hope for Red Stoke now. And another one says, Rovers have come top of their group.
Look at how weird Roy looks celebrating in this next picture. I tell you what, Skew does have some off days. Gleeful because Roy sometimes looks really fucking different from one page to the next. Mm. There are like, it's like the 12 faces of Roy. You know what I'm saying, maybe. Don't you? That he that like in this, his body looks different. His face, he said, he looks like fucking hell. He looks like Bruce Forsyth. He's suddenly got an enormous protruding chin. And it's a big, tiny head, body, and his head's too big for his body. It's fucking weird. Skew must have been pissed when he drew this.
He maybe had like an apprentice who helped out. And
you do it. I've got to go out and attend to some business. If you can't fucking work out how to draw any of them, just trace it.
Copy it off one of the other ones. Fucking hell, it's not hard.
How hard can it
be? I'll be back on Thursday.
I was trained as a classical fucking painter. This is just fucking doodling. Can't believe I've been reduced to it. Probably the drink. I mean, I went to the Royal Society of Art School and I did oil painting the lot. I thought I was going to be the next fucking Rembrandt. And what am I? The next fucking... Who's him who did Fred Bassett? Well, whatever he was, I'm the next one of him.
I'm that.
And I tell you what as well, I'm not even as good as him because dogs are actually quite hard to draw. I learned that at art school. They said it was the second hardest thing to draw a Basset Hound after a hand. A human hand is almost impossible to draw. And I tell you what else is hard, a horse. And that is why, if you look back through all the back issues, a horse will never feature in Roy of the Rovers. Because even my professor at the Royal Society of Art School, he said, never, ever, whatever you fucking do, try to draw a horse. Not if you're working for a client and to deadline. If you're in a real hurry, if you're in a tight spot, you can draw around your thumb. And that actually does look quite like a horse's head.
Thing about me is I don't even like football. I've never ever been to a football match. I just draw what I think it looks like and I seem to get away with it. So it's part of my genius, I suppose.
But anyway, look.
Anyway, I'm back Thursday.
It's your first day. It's your first day. I understand that. I understand I'm leaving you with a lot of responsibility and pressure. But the key thing is, relax. Remember what I told you.
Relax the hand.
Relax. If in doubt, trace. Avoid horses. And if you're worried about hands, just do what I do and draw the character with the hands behind his back. You see?
Over the page. Yeah, Roy does look slightly different this week. There's a close-up of him. The top of the second page, which is just odd. His
face gets thinner anyway. Sometimes and then it fills out again on the next time. It's all over the place.
The third panel at the top where Roy's doing his boot or taking his boot off and he's just looking down. He looks like, fuck knows who he looks like. He looks like
a prize cunt.
He does look like someone, but I can't remember who it is. Oh, never mind. Blackie says, hey Roy, we're in with a great chance of winning the tournament, so why so serious? That's how you win tournaments, Blackie. Seriousness,
no fucking about.
Don't fanny about and win tournaments. He says, I've just spotted Alec Amor talking to Carl Hunt, Blackie. Alec Amor, it says, was the Rovers' temporary chairman. He's been in that job for a while now, for temporary. Roy says he must have obtained Carford's permission to approach him about transfer terms. The directors see Hunt as the driving force behind our European Cup Winners' Cup campaign next season. But you don't, eh, Roy? Says Blackie, perceptive as ever. Not at the moment. Despite the way Carl is playing in the tournament, I'm convinced he's scared to commit himself to a full-blooded tackle. So Roy's got this theory about Carl Hunt, which Carl Hunt is right now disproving by the way he's playing football. So I don't know where that leaves Roy, to be honest. He's haunted by what he did to Les Anderson. Accident or not? What's he suggesting there? It was deliberate. And as Roy and Blackie leave this six-a-side tournament, which seems to be going on for fucking weeks, there's a gang of Carford fans all shouting, "Carl Hunt! Carl Hunt! Carl Hunt!"
I'm Carl sick Hunt. Of Carl Hunt. I mean, the whole summer is just full of Carl. It's become the Carl Hunt. It's called Roy the Rovers, not Carl of the Rovers. It's driving me mental. I'm surprised Roy's standing for it as well, all this focus on another individual.
If they're going to bring other characters in, make it like that Australian bowler who was his fucking nemesis.
Or Artie Merrick, who was also, I think, from Australia.
Yeah.
They all, whenever they interview like a bête noir, is very often an Aussie. Whoever like what's the opposite of a dignified Englishman? I'll tell you what it is. It's a loud, brash, and all too often drunk Australian yob.
Well, that's how we saw them back then. They were seen as the other, weren't they? The Australians. They hadn't infested our culture.
Brash yobs. That's what a traditional Englishman would have seen them as. But they didn't know any better. And then we got Neighbours and realised that actually they were
just like us.
They were nice. They were a good laugh, and all the women were bang fit. And then we sort of gave
Helen
into
Daniels.
It. Mm. Even what?
Even Helen Daniels.
Oh yeah.
Even
Mrs. Mangle.
What's happening? Even Mrs. Mangle.
You know, like if you look up Mrs. Mangle, was actually at the time when she was in her imperial phase.
36.
Yeah, she was like much younger than we are now. But like you regarded her as like an elderly battle axe, didn't you?
Nell Mangle first appeared in 1986. Fucking hell, she was only here for 2.5 years.
Wow, what an impact she had.
What an impression she left.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vivian Grey, who played Mrs. Mangle, well, she was 62 when she first appeared.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got that wrong. I thought it was one of those ones where it's like, did you know that Mrs. Mangle was in fact 20?
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
She was born, Vivian Grey, was born in Cleethorpes. Same birthplace as Rod Temperton.
As Rod Temperton. What a fucking town. Yeah. We should make a documentary about, and we should call it the Cleethorpes Factor.
Factor. Are there any statues in Cleethorpes?
Why not? That some of the greatest global cultural icons of the last century all came from this small Lincolnshire town known best for its fish filleting?
We're talking Rod Temperton. We're talking that woman who played Mrs. Mangle.
That's right. We're talking big fucking names. Names that shaped our worldview.
I'm looking now at a list of notable people of Cleethorpes as well on the Wikipedia. Michelle Dutrice, who played Frank Spencer's wife in Some Mothers Do Have Them.
Betty.
She was a bit fit. Yeah, Betty.
I am.
Patricia Hodge, the actress.
Oh, she lives around here. I see her about.
Does she?
Oh, you wouldn't know she's from Cleethorpes with her airs and graces.
Oh, no, she's fucking very la-di-da.
I see her down the media hub, mate,
Oh, you want to mention Cleethorpes to her next time you see her?
I will next time.
I'm sorry, I've never heard of Cleethorpes.
You must have made some mistake. I was born in Kensington. No, you fucking
you've
weren't.
You've mixed me up with someone else, I'm sure. Fucking hell. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
You know, the woman who plays Betty from Some Mothers Do Have Them. Like, yeah, my family, one of the many things that they tease me relentlessly about in my house is that I'm always getting words and names incorrect, right? Like, really basic level stuff, but they absolutely find it hilarious. It's not funny. Like, just little things like, I keep calling this show we like Race Across the World. I call it Race Against the World. I don't know why. It just comes out that way. And people find that very funny. A lot of it goes back to that time when I thought the Wi-Fi password at that hotel was Uncle Harrington, which I do admit was quite funny. Do you remember that? Uncle Harrington. And they always bring everything back to that now, right? They go, oh, he's done another Uncle Harrington, right? I mean, that was funny because the actual password had no relation to that whatsoever. I still don't know where the term Uncle Harrington came from. But I was telling, I don't know, Len about Some Mothers Do Have Them and how it was really funny.
One of them.
And like,
I don't know who it was.
Like, my wife was overhearing this, and I was going, yeah, he was really funny. He was basically, you know, I was explaining Some Mothers Do Have Them. It's about a fucking idiot. It's about an idiot who was always breaking everything in his house. That's it. And he had and he wore a beret and a Mac. No one knew why. He was a fucking clown, and his wife was surprisingly attractive and extremely tolerant. And his catchphrase, his wife was called, he goes, what was his wife called? And I don't know why I said it, but I said, Wendy. and then Anna overheard this. My wife overheard it and she went, oh yeah. What was his catchphrase then? Cause she'd heard me say Wendy. And I went, oh, it was, ooh, Wendy. And only when I said it, did I realise how silly I had been?
Yeah.
Ooh, Wendy just doesn't trip off the tongue like Ooh, Betty, does it?
No, it doesn't.
But I might get T-shirts printed with Frank Spencer's face and a speech bubble saying Ooh, Wendy.
Ooh, Wendy. Mm. And Michelle Dutrice is actually a widow as well. She was famously married to Edward Woodward, the Equaliser.
Edward Woodward, the man whose name sounds like doing a fart in the bath.
Yeah.
Edward Woodward.
Let's return to Roy the Rover.
No, we don't like fart chat. But Edward Woodward being dead's a shame, isn't it? The Equalizer was good. Mind you, the Equalizer films are even better.
Yeah, he was fucking hell. He was 79 when he died, though. So, you know, had a good run.
He's done all right for himself.
All right, so yeah. Carl Hunt is addressing the Carford fans, and Royce says, Blackie says, anyway, he may have turned down Alex's offer. Why would he turn down Alex's offer? Why would he turn down the chance to come to Melchester? Blackie says, could be, Blackie. I'll check it out with the chairman tomorrow. No, just leave it till tomorrow. You know, you could ring him tonight, but don't. As Roy headed for Alex's home the next day, always doing it face to face. Fucking hell. He's, darn it, I clean forgot. We're signing young Mark Butler this morning. There's a photo session at the stadium. What? Who? Mark Butler? Who? And Roy appears, wanders at the pitch as Mark Butler in an all yellow Melchester away kit, doing some keepy uppies for the assorted gentlemen of the press. And, who's that? Is that Ben Galloway? Is Ben Galloway still there? Yeah, he is, isn't he? I think that's Ben Galloway. And he says, ah, here's Roy. Here's Roy, ladies and gentlemen. We can get started now.
One Roy doesn't like me getting started until he's here.
Yeah.
The last time
you can start taking your photographs now.
Roy wants it to be very clear that my role here is entirely cosmetic and that he is the real puller of strings. And I'm happy to admit that. The last time I started a press conference before he arrived, he later that day, and this is classic Roy, he's such a joker, he locked me in a stationary cupboard, and I don't mean a stationary cupboard like a room, I mean an actual cabinet, very small dimensions. He locked me in there for 6 hours, and I was boiling, I was so hot that I passed out, and I also, unfortunately, urinated in my suit trousers. But that's Roy, he's a stickler. And he loves a practical joke, so I won't be making that mistake again.
He was right to do it. We've never discussed it since. Let's have some good action shots, Mark, says one of the photographers. The youngster was about to sign as a full professional after being snapped up from Holverton. I've forgotten his name already. Mark Butler. All right, there he is. And he's weaving with the ball in and out of some poles. Beautiful control, says one of the pressmen. Another one says, he looks lazy, but he's got deceptive speed and control. And good touch, in inverted commas, on the ball. He can curl his shots like a Brazilian.
That's brilliant, isn't it? Like, in that era, curling a shot. They used to call it a banana shot. Because it was shaped like a banana.
Shot, yeah.
But it was literally still, even in the 80s, it was considered like witchcraft. Hey, yeah, we are British. We kick the ball straight. Straight lines only, right? Ideally, straight ahead. That's vertical. Sometimes, if you're Ray Wilkins, horizontally. And for the very flamboyant, although I don't encourage this, diagonally. That's for your Glenn Hoddles of this world. But
Glenn Hoddle never
attempt to curl the ball, because you don't know what might happen.
Glenn Hoddle curled a shot once, and he were banned for 3 games.
And he accepted that. He knew it weren't on. Now, we sometimes do play friendly internationals, and you will get the Brazilians of this world. They will curl the ball. The important thing is, if you see someone curling the ball, do not ever look directly at the curled ball, because it may blind you.
Ring your local council and they will send someone out in a van and they will confiscate the ball and destroy it humanely.
And they will imprison the perpetrator of the banana shot until he can produce certain papers and documents.
Until he's produced a blood sample.
They will be put on a prison ship off the coast of Kent.
And of course, the banana shot was outlawed when we joined the EU and we all had straight bananas.
Straight bananas, straight shots. Wasn't that one of the catchphrases of Farage during the Brexit campaign? Straight bananas, straight shots.
Yeah. Mm. And now that we're out of the EU, that's what we've got.
Mm.
We haven't even got fucking any bananas at the minute.
Is there a banana shortage? How does that work? Bananas don't even come from Europe.
I haven't got any in the house.
Oh, okay.
That's all I meant. I'll get some later on. There's loads of them in the shop.
I wish you good luck.
Thank you. Roy says, okay, Mark, that's enough. Stop fucking showing off, you cunt.
All right, flash bollocks.
Put that fucking ball away.
With your fucking banana shots. I could do a banana shot, but I won't because I've got more respect than that.
He says, that's enough. It's time for the great moment. What?
What's great moment now? Time.
It's great moment time. Dun, dun, dun. Mark's parents had come along to see their son sign a contract and they're dressed as if they're going to a wedding. Look at the state of them. Mark's dad looks like Lord Lucan. And his mum looks like, let's say Lady Lucan. They've been interviewed, as was customary back then. I don't think. This must be a very proud and happy day for you, Mr. Butler. You bet, says Mr. Butler. We're all going to be fucking raking it in now. Now that Mark's,
we're all getting our pound of flesh out of this deal, I can tell you.
I'm his agent as well, you know. Yes. You bet, Mark couldn't be signing for a better club. And his wife says, or playing under a better manager.
I got a banana shop clause put in his contract too. Roy Race is well known for never reading the small print. It means every time he does a banana shot, not only will he not be penalised, he'll get a bonus.
So he's signing on the dotted line on what is a very, very shiny desk. Roy's desk, I guess. And there's Roy, there's Ben Galloway looking on. Welcome to the squad, Mark, as Roy shakes his hand. The rest is up to you now. I know, boss. I won't let you down, says Mark Butler. At that moment, in walks Alec Aymore. Just finished, eh? Sorry I'm late. Hello, Alec. We've just signed ourselves a new right-sided midfield player.
All right, cunt, look what I just bought. Well, shouldn't you have cleared that with the board first? Maybe, but it's done now.
Nope. Oh, well. temporary chairman. And Alec Amos says, oh, and while you're here, there may soon be another new face at the Rovers. I've been having a chat with Carl Hunt.
Oh, and fucking hell's bells.
Roy says, what?
You fucking absolute hell. Fucking cunt.
Back page. Roy is furious. It's another clash with the board of Melchester. Don't worry, Roy, says Amos. Petrified. The final decision will be yours, of course. Then I can give it to you now. I don't want anything to do with Carl Hunt. And then he kind of backpedals a bit. He's a nice chap and a great player. But
fair.
Don't get me wrong.
But
lovely fella.
Let's be honest. Carl Hunt by name, Carl Hunt by nature. You see what I'm trying to say to you, Mr. Amor? You work it out. Go on, have a think. Cunt. See Hunt, cunt.
There you go.
Carl Hunt, cunt.
He's
a cunt. He's a cunt, and so are you. That's what I'm trying to say here. Sorry that I've had to spell it out so brutally, but that's the situation you put me in.
He says he's a nice chap and a great player, but he isn't as great as he used to be. He's got a hang-up about Les Anderson, and I think it will find him out when he gets back to First Division football. Pressman, pig face. Are you saying that Hunt is finished as a world-class player, Roy? Not exactly. In time, he could stop blaming himself for wrecking Les Anderson's career, and they all run out the door. They don't want to get the rest of the sentence.
Oh, well, that's enough,
thanks, Roy.
Roy, Rice, I can see it now. Rice, he wrecked Les Anderson's Hunt. Can we use the word cunt on the cover? Has it been done before? It hasn't, but we're all about pushing the boundaries at this newspaper. It's what the people want. It's what our readers say that word every day, so why shouldn't we? Race. That cunt ruined Anderson's career. What a headline. What a splash.
Look at them all running out of the door because they've got what they need. Thanks, Roy. What a story. Let's go.
We can stitch him right up with that half-remembered quote.
It's going to be like one of those scenes in a hotel foyer where there's loads of telephone boxes.
Oh, I love
they
that,
all
yeah.
run into each one.
And
at
in
the same
airplane,
time.
They all run in at once and it falls over on the ground.
It falls over, yeah. Roy goes, oh, now, wait a minute. All this was off the record. Oh, what? You never said that, Roy. Surely you're not going to quote me. Yeah, they fucking are. You have to say the following is off the record before you say it. Either that or record all your conversations. But the following morning, two back pages there, one on Sport, one on the Bugle. Roy writes off Carl Hunt. Hunt haunted by Anderson injury, claims Roy Race. Roy sitting at the breakfast table. Again, not looking like Roy Race, looking like someone else. And the state of Penny first thing in the morning. Jesus.
Well.
Oh, no, I've been misquoted in the past, but this is ridiculous.
Well, this is taking the piss.
Yeah, it looks as if I'm saying that Hunt is washed up. Penny pouring a black coffee says, something tells me that he's going to try and prove that he isn't, Roy. And you could be the first to get the message in the tournament semi-finals. So, Roy is about to play Carl Hunt.
Calm down, Penn. I've told you not to follow football. It's confusing and it kind of blurs the lines between my home life and my work life, which I really don't like at all. It disconcerts me.
So
stick to your puzzle books.
That is...
That's what I get them for you.
And you're knitting. So there it is. That's the end of that one. How many marks out of 10 are you giving that?
Oh, I'll give it a 9.
All right, I'll give it a 9 as well.
Had a lot going on.
Just tell us what's... Yeah, next week it just says Roy comes face to face with Carl Hunt, so Roy might have dug his own grave a little bit there against the clearly mentally unstable Carl Hunt. But we'll find out what happens there next time. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And that's it. And goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.